Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
I'm Georgiana Lincoln, representing the interior of Alaska, the Athabascans. When I was first asked if I would like to be a presenter for this portion, I always wonder why me? I'm not the older generation. I'm third generation, but I will try and represent all of those fairly for the interior of Alaska, our Athabascan people.
Georgiana Lincoln is the executive director of Battle Yilkon, the Rampart Village Native Corporation, a member of the board of directors of Doyon Limited, and director of programs for the Tanana Chiefs Conference, Doyon's not-for-profit counterpart. In these roles, she is in the forefront of corporate development and the changes in the last 10 years, mandated in large part by ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. In this presentation before the Alaska Federation of Natives Annual Convention, the 10th since ANCSA's passage in 1971, she speaks of balancing the needs of the Native Regional and Village Corporation with the need to preserve and encourage cultural values and traditions. After acknowledging Doyon Limited and Tanana Chiefs dignitaries in the audience, Lincoln singled out two elders for a different kind of recognition.
Two very, very special people to me who have made me what I am to stand before you and speak to you. One is my mother, Catherine Harwood, who is sitting down here somewhere, Mom. And the other one is my adoptive mother, Pauline Carlo. Pauline and Mom are, like I said, very special people to me, because oftentimes I think in our changing world, and it's changing rapidly, day to day, month to month, certainly year to year, these two people, when I start getting off in the Western world, I guess as people refer to it, or the rush, the business, political world, these two people drag me back and say, wait a minute, George, you know, stop and think. Now, we know that you have to go that way, but here's other things for you to remember as you're going in that path. And without them, I probably would be well on that other path without blending the two together. Preserving tradition, when Ellen told me that that was the topic, I thought, it's very difficult. I thought about it for a long time, you know, what to say as what Doyon is doing to preserve what we have done, what we are doing, what we will be doing in preserving tradition. Believe me, I did not come up with a very long list, and I would challenge any of the other regions to do the same thing. First thing I said was, not enough. Not enough in the past, not enough right now, and hopefully it'll change for the future. Tradition, to me, I listed some of those things that tradition means, and the very first thing I wrote down was sharing. That's our whole tradition, is sharing with one another, whether we're Tlingit, Eskimo, Athabascan, whatever. What's mine is yours. You're welcome to my house anytime. I trust you. I love you. That's tradition. The art form, language, stories, dancing, singing, survival. The day-to-day living is our tradition. And I said it's like a child, our children, from the day that they're born. We look at this little baby, and a month from now we look at it again, and it looks the same to us. In a year, you notice a little bit of difference. 5 years, there's a little bit of difference. 10 years. Until you go back and look at the picture again, you think, my God, how they've changed. But you don't notice that day to day because you're living with them. You're with them every single day. And I think when we really stop and think about our tradition and where we are today with it, you look back on where we were one generation ago, my mother's generation, my grandmother's generation. It's a world of difference, a world of difference. My grandmother, who was traditional, who lived it daily, that's the tradition we're talking about, trying to maintain. My mother's generation, where changes started taking place. And I spoke with both Pauline and Mom this morning, and they said, you know, we can really see it in that generation. And yet some of it is lost in that generation, and I'm losing some of it, and my children will lose some of it. And there comes a time, I think the 10 years I was looking back at, of when we started with our corporations. A lot has changed for our traditions. And even those 10 years, what's going to happen in the next 10 years? I challenge not the corporations to be responsible for that, but the villages and the individuals. Stop and analyze it and see if you like what's going on. Do we need to stop some of the changes that's taking place right now that's affecting our tradition? We're having, and we see the registered trap lines. We see because of the profit corporations, not the sharing anymore of going and cutting down the logs wherever you want, where your boat can land best, where the trees stand the tallest, but where land is available now. You have to get permission now from your village corporation, from your regional corporation, to cut those logs for your houses, for your firewood, for your campsites, for your fishing sites, for your trapping sites. There's regulations, regulations, regulations. And I really believe that soon we're going to see people talking about fishing site registered. People are saying, that's my trap line. Don't trap on it. You know, I'm going to be gone for a week. Don't trap on it. The village corporations are saying, hey, that's our land. You know, don't go on it. That's within the last 10 years when you really think about it. Maybe within the last 5 years. Times have changed drastically that affect our villages. TVs, which I personally am opposed to, have gone into the villages. One village I was talking to, I think they have 20 channels in the village. One village I went to, we were having a very important planning meeting about their village, and they said, one lady said, how long is the meeting going to be? Because Mork and Mindy is on tonight. And I just looked at her and I just smiled. And I thought, is this our tradition? You know, set aside what is important to us to hang on to maintain for Mork and Mindy from York or some other world? The living conditions are changing. We're talking about roads, we're talking about for profit, we're talking about development. That's kind of a scary word to a lot of the village people, development. What does it mean? More roads going in, changes in the villages, cars coming back and forth now. Who knows? The environment, that's changing. Bigger planes, bigger runways, oil stoves, electricity. A lot of change in my lifetime, let alone my mother's. What has Doyon done? Fortunately, Tim was sitting behind me on the plane coming down, and when I had one line there, I put my pad back to him. I said, Tim, add to that if you want. We have Historical Cemetery Sites Committee, which is very valuable to us. They review all of the sites in hoping to preserve them for future generations, in visiting those sites and telling us about those sites and what happened in those areas. Nobody but our elders can tell us that. Certainly through TCC, we're documenting stories, putting it on tape, in books. We see some things happening in the schools through that effort. We're acquiring art for our facility, our big modern building. But Tim told me this, and I really never thought about it this way. And he said, I think if I were standing here, I would say that probably what we see for the regional corporations is the mechanism for providing the economical and political machinery that would give all of you a choice in which life you want to lead. And I think that's a very true statement, that we have those two worlds we're living in. We can't change that. That perhaps that's the most important thing that we could have for our regional corporations, and to keep understanding that we work with our nonprofit entities too. But I just leave you with the thought in mind that please don't wait for the regional corporations to do it for you. Don't wait for your village corporations. Don't wait for the tribal organizations to do it for you. Because we must do it individually, we must do it by community. And we can't afford to let the last 10 years continue to be our next 10 years, because there's going to be coming a time when we can't turn back. You've got to start thinking about that for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your children. And I really plead with you to do it individually, to do it in your villages, and we'll be there to assist in doing that and working together, hand in hand, as a Native community, as our tradition of sharing. Thank you.
Georgiana Lincoln, Director of Programs for the Tanana Chiefs Conference, sharing her thoughts on preserving traditions at the December 1981 AFN Convention. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaska Natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
I'm George Tobuck.
I'm Judy McReynolds.
My name is Cornelia Grabinska.
My name's Abby Arnold.
And I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. George, Judy, Cornelia, and Abby are studying ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, as part of a Tanana Chiefs Conference grant to assess the impact of 1991, the date 20 years after passage of the act when stock can be sold and land taxed. Abby Arnold is the project coordinator for the study.
In 71, 1991 was looked at as the magical year when all land would be conveyed to the villages and all money would have been given to the villages and they will become profit-making entities on their own, standing on their own 2 feet, and they will be taxed. Well, with the passage of the Alaska National Interest Lands legislation and with problems like most of the villages don't have land conveyed to them, and most of the regional corporations don't have land conveyed to them, and many other kinds of things that have come up since the passage of the Act in 71, 1991 was looked at as the maturation date. I think what's beginning to happen now is the thought is going towards looking at 1991 maybe as a marker, maybe as an indicator, but definitely not a date of maturation, not a date of settlement complete. And I think that the way we're approaching it is we're going to be looking at before 71, looking at why the Act passed, look at what issues and problems have come up, and then we are going to be looking at what to do in the next 10, 20, 30 years. What kinds of programs and policies should the federal government be instituting? Where is their responsibility? What's the state's responsibility?
Tanana Chiefs is one of two organizations preparing reports funded by the Administration for Native Americans.
The Tanana Chiefs is going to be looking at the Doyon region, and Alaska Native Foundation is going to be looking at the coastal villages, including Southeast and the Aleutian Chain. It looks like Alaska Native Foundation will be looking at the legal aspects of the Act, where Tanana Chiefs will be looking at more at the socioeconomic, cultural effects of the Act.
Can you translate that into other terms?
Well, we're going to be talking to the people living in the rural communities. We're going to hopefully have a more hands-on approach, and they're going to have more of an analytic approach on what's happened since the Act was passed.
Researcher Cornelia Grabinska.
We will try to see what the perception of the village people is, and also the politicians, some of the politicians and academic people.
You're going to be making field trips to villages to do this?
Yes, we are going to select probably 8 to 10 villages from the Doyon region and concentrate on those villages.
Mm-hmm. And part of that selection process will include seeing if the village corporations want to work with us, and then working with them, having them become an integral part of the project. We're not going to be going in and studying something. What we're going to try to do is explain to people what this project was funded for, see whether we can incite interest, help them understand how it's going to be read by Congress or by the President, how it's going to probably determine policy for the Alaska Natives for the next 25 to 30 years, and try to incorporate village people into the whole project, not trying to come from outside in. We're theoretically, because we're with Tanana Chiefs, we're already inside. I mean, we're working with people. We've worked with Interior Village Association. We've gotten their consent to work on the project, and we're going to try to do that also on a village-by-village basis. So I just want to make that one clear. It's pretty important.
Judy, are you involved then in any of the communication with the villages, that sort of thing?
At this point, no. The three primary people here have more or less been working on a format to see actually what the issues are and what questions we need to ask. And at this point, we don't want to go out into the villages until we know very well what we're talking about. And studying the Act and interpretations since its passage has been a big part of that.
We started out very, very slowly. We started out in the first full week of January, and our intention was to not have any contact with anybody outside until March. And at the Tanana Chiefs Convention, we're going to have our splash. There's going to be a panel on ANCSCA, and we're going to have invited dignitaries from the interior on the bill. And at that point, we'll have some workshops, and we'll let people know what we're doing, and tell them what we have done so far and get direction from them and where we should be going and what kinds of issues and concerns we should be covering.
One issue the group is sure to investigate is that of the relationship between the federal government and Alaska Natives, focusing on changes that may have occurred in recent years.
We'll try to see if there's difference in the relationship, federal-tribal relationship between ANCSA and after ANCSA, and also what's the difference in relationship between federal government and Alaskan Natives and federal government and Lower 48 Natives.
And then there's the whole issue of the state-federal relationship,
especially
as Reaganomics becomes more of a reality. The question is, how is service delivery going to be practiced in Alaska? where if the state is going to be taking on more control over service delivery or taking on more of a role in service delivery, the question is, what do you do with the unorganized borough? The state doesn't have a system set up to deal with tribal governments. And part of our project will be to look at that problem and try to identify what some of the rural interests and concerns are, and maybe maybe identify or give guidance to the federal government of how they might proceed in working out this issue or this problem that's certainly occurring.
Okay, when you say tribal governments, are you referring to IRA councils, traditional village councils?
Yes, that's what we're referring
both.
To.
Both.
The traditional village councils, quite a few of them in the Doyon region, have applied for the IRA and have not gotten that yet. But when we talk about tribal governments, we're talking about those traditional governments as opposed to second-class cities or municipalities, which the state has kind of overlaid onto the tribal governments. The state won't recognize tribal governments, and the federal government in the past has. There's all kinds of legal arguments going on in the courts, and I'm sure that's what Alaska Native Foundation will look at much more closely. There has been a lot of questioning going on by people in the legal field about what the act did in terms of the federal responsibility to tribal governments. And I think that one thing that will be addressed in our project, not necessarily by us four, but definitely by legal consultants to Alaska Native Foundation, will be what is the federal state, what is the trust responsibility of the federal government to the Alaska Natives?
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine then if you select some of the reserves as well as some villages, you're going to find some different sorts of things going on there.
Definitely. Certainly. The Venati Arctic Village Reserve or the Teton Reserve have a different history, and there's different things going on. There's different interactions going on there that I think we'll be looking at. We'll be, I think, looking at Arctic Village Venati, and I don't yet know whether it'll be, and we'll probably be looking at Tetlin, but from a different angle. Again, we haven't identified the communities, and before we even can say we're looking at them, we have to get their consent and their interest in working with them.
Aside from the federal and state relationships, what other kinds of issues are you coming up with?
Well, one of the issues we'll look again at will be the history that led to ANCSA. We'll try to see if ANCSA fulfilled the wishes of its architect. And are the native leaders satisfied with the ANCSA? Is Congress satisfied with ANCSA? And, you know, are the native people satisfied with it?
In terms of socioeconomic impact or
yes.
Other sorts of things?
Yes, socioeconomic.
Well, the Claims Act was a land settlement. And what we're going to look at is whether the village people feel like they got a just land claims, just land settlement. And we're going to be looking at it from the interior. Different regional corporations and different people living in different parts of the state have different viewpoints. And focusing on the interior is actually going to, I'm hoping, make our job a little bit easier. Though I think that some of the patterns or themes that we bring up in the interior will be reflected outside of the interior.
Possibly, but given that the Doyon-Tanana Chiefs region will potentially be the largest private landowner in the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of six regional corporations in the land loss formula.
Mm-hmm.
The population base, the potential mineral development in the area
mm-hmm.
that is thus far outside of the township selections
mm-hmm.
for villages.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like perhaps the results of your studies from this region may be quite a bit different than they would be from any other region.
That's very possible. And it will be up to us and Alaska Native Foundation to work out how those differences are going to be addressed in the report. There's no clause anymore that says that what's going on in the interior is the same as going on in North Slope or Manilik or Bering Straits. And I think it's going to be important for us to identify that there is that difference. In terms of other issues, we're going to be looking at health and social services delivery, looking at education, looking at acculturation, looking at what kind of problems and issues have come up with village corporations as opposed to the regional corporation, what the relationship is between the regional corporation and the village corporation, What did Congress intend that relationship to be? What do the Doyon people, the regional corporation people, think it is? What do the village corporation people think it is? And then what do the people living in the villages think it is? We'll be talking about, on the village corporation level, we'll be looking at what kinds of background they were given to prepare them for a land claim settlement, what kind of background, what kind of entrepreneurial skills they were given. I mean, the whole gamut. We'll be hopefully looking at what the elders in the villages think versus the youth in the villages think. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to do a lot of interviews with people on a one-on-one basis and then on a village-wide basis.
You mentioned the regional village corporation relationship. Anything on the AFN relationship, the statewide organization relationship, and the lack of a provision for a statewide organization in ACS?
Yeah, I think that Tam Manchus is going to let that alone. We have some questions. Judy said that we have identified questions that we want to address. We've identified at least 100. And one of them is, what happened with Alaska Federation of Natives when the act was passed? How is it supported now versus how is it supported then? And what kind of ownership do interior rural people have? What kinds of feelings do interior rural people have towards Alaska Federation of Natives? Do they feel like they represent them? That may be some of the kind of thing we get into, but we won't look into the functions of AFN. Alaska Native Foundation may, but we won't.
You mentioned, too, the regional village corporation relationship. You're going to be looking at profits and nonprofits separately, or as kind of one unit, or how are you going to be approaching that?
We don't know yet. the provision in the act is very interesting. The villages had a choice of being non-profit corporations or profit corporations, and why they had chosen profit corporations, that would be an interesting question to address.
How about subsistence issues?
So far, we haven't contacted anyone in that field. You know, I know several people that are working on that, but as far as the issue is concerned, we haven't, or at least I haven't, got into that yet.
Well, in part of our developing questions, the whole concern of traditional lifestyle and traditional way of life has come in, and we will be addressing that very much in depth. We haven't decided yet whether or not we're going to produce one final report or we're going to have a number of issue reports or a number of smaller reports outlining the issues, but we'll be definitely dealing with the issue.
We will look at subsistence versus cash economy and what villages are, subsistence villages and what villages are cash economy, and some of them are successful in both, so we will look at them.
If we can identify the core issues, if we can produce something that's meaningful and worthwhile, then the report will be probably read by Congress. In 1984, there is, in ANCSCA, 1984 is the date where the Secretary of Interior is supposed to produce a report talking about what has happened since the bill was passed. And this project may very well lay the groundwork for the 1984 report. In which case, yes, Congress will read it. We are trying now to work with the Alaska delegation in Washington, D.C., so they certainly will read it, and I'm not sure who else. Depends on how good it is.
Abby Arnold, Cornelia Grubinska, Judy McReynolds, and George Tobuk of the Tanana Chiefs Conference ANCSA Impact Study. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
And